are so glad that you're here today. Welcome to the Edge Church. I'm Pastor Ryan, and we're so glad that you're here for the beginning of our I Crazy series. You know, we live in a crazy, crazy time, and the time in which we live can make us crazy. I mean, if you just think about it in terms of technology and our own iPhones, we can run multiple applications all at the same time. We can listen to music, send a text message, check our stocks, tweet, and stalk somebody on Facebook all at the same time. You know? And even if you're having relationship problems, you can ask Siri, you know, what you need to do. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's enough to make anybody eye crazy. But God has a word for us today, how we can find strength and how we can begin to release the burdens of life. You know, they say that the average person sends about 400 text messages a month. That's double what it was 5 years ago. But I think what's even more interesting is that the average teenager sends 3,700 text messages a month. Now, that's incredible. And if you're a teenager, you know what I'm talking about today. Teenagers, they do text messaging conversations, you know, with three or four people at one time, you know. And you wonder if you send 3,700 text messages in a month, how could that even be possible if you were going to eat, drink, sleep, go to class, and do anything else but send text messages? That's why a lot of teenagers have these really big thumbs, you know. They have average fingers and like massive thumbs. That's kind of a joke. I'm trying to see if you guys are awake a little bit this morning. But the iPhone is not the only complexity in our culture. There's a lot of other things too. In fact, researchers are talking about phantom vibration syndrome. Do you guys know what that is? That's when you're always answering your phone, but nobody's calling. You just hear the ringing, you know? Or you feel the vibration in your pocket, and you get that twitch. You guys ever do that? That's how you really know you're going eye crazy, when you're twitching, and you're looking for your phone, but nobody's texting and nobody's calling. It's a bad thing, phantom vibration syndrome. It happens to people. That's when you know you're about to lose your mind. But the iPhone is only one complexity of our culture. Students have the pressure of taking AP classes, playing sports, and holding down a job, and taking piano lessons, and, you know, having a social life. And that seems overwhelming. And then in big people world, like adult world, it's the pressure of trying to hold it all together. Some of us in this room are married and have children and, you know, have a mortgage, and you're trying to be a parent and a spouse, and you're trying to pay your bills and to keep up with everything else going on. And sometimes that's just overwhelming. And many times we feel pulled in so many different directions because we're looking for significance and love. And we feel the pressure of trying to be everything and to do everything because really, in our heart of hearts, there's something deep down within us that says, if I could just do more, if I could just be more involved, if I could just have another meeting, if I could just, you know, send another text message, that it would fill this void in our own lives. And yet Jesus had something strikingly different to say about this. Jesus began to speak about a life without limits in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Today we want to talk about this rest that comes from God. This spiritual rest that comes from Him. Learning to let go of the burdens of life and to live a life of freedom and vitality in Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke about three things today that we want to download and we want to look at. And the first of which is, come to me. Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. That's relationship. Man, we want to begin to deal with the stress that we're feeling today, the sense of being overwhelmed, phantom vibration syndrome, the twitch, if you will. Come to Jesus, the relationship. In fact, I've wanted to play kind of a mean joke on some people. I want to go to a local restaurant and like hide 3 or 4 different iPhones and start sending text messages and turn the volume up all the way and start calling and watching the people's reaction in there. You know, if you've ever been in a meeting before where somebody's phone goes off and everybody starts twitching, you know, and I love to just see the expressions on everybody's face. That's a whole nother sermon for another time right there. But Jesus has come to me. That's relationship. We tend to think more about do than we do about come. I need to do more. I need to work harder. Many times our idea of having a vital spiritual life is related to checking boxes. In fact, a new Christian came to me several years ago, and she said, "Ryan, where are the rules in this church? I need some rules." And I said, "Well, what are you talking about exactly?" And she said, "Well, I grew up in this church," and she called the name of it, and then she said, "But I love this church, but no one's talking about the rules, and I just need to know what I need to be doing. I need some rules." And nobody here is worried about the rules. And as I began to understand what she was talking about, she believed that her whole spiritual experience was all about what she could do and not about relationship. In other words, it was more about the religious aspect but less about the relational aspect. And I began to talk with her about how Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. And listen, by the way, when your relationship with Jesus is intact, the rules begin to take care of themselves. Is that right? It's amazing how that begins to happen. But when we begin to get the what and we forget the why, then what we have is just dead religion. And Jesus began to speak right in the face of all of the religious authority when he began to teach on this, because the Pharisees, who were the Jewish religious leaders of the time during the times of the New Testament, they had rules upon rules upon rules, hundreds and hundreds of rules that they had come up with themselves, not God, but that they had come up with to try to apply the teachings of the law of Moses. And so the whole mentality, the whole crowd that Jesus was speaking and teaching to had in their mind, do more. Be more disciplined. Work harder. Put more elbow grease into it. That's what it means to succeed spiritually. And Jesus said, "Oh, no, 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 no. Come to me, and I will begin to release that burden. I will give you rest," Jesus says. "Come to me." In other words, we bring everything we have to him, our sin, our guilt, our shame, our insecurities, our problems, our fears, our doubts, our dreams, our goals, even our ambitions and our successes. It's a never-ending process of coming and bringing those things to the Lord. But Jesus said, "Bring those things to me, and I will give you rest." Now, back to the Pharisees. The Pharisees' religious system allowed them to make up all these rules to kind of talk about, for example, the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment is that we're to keep the Sabbath day holy. So the Pharisees came up with 39 different rules about how to keep the Sabbath day holy, as if keeping the Sabbath day holy, that wasn't clear enough, right? And so one of them was you couldn't cook if you were a Jew on the Sabbath day, because that was work. And you could not walk beyond so many steps on the Sabbath day, because that was work. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. 39 different things that you could not do, or you would be guilty of violating the Sabbath. And so Jesus is speaking to this crowd, because the rules sometimes become more important than God. Did you know that? And I hope today that your faith is not focused on the rules more than it is on your relationship with Jesus Christ, because God wants to be connected to you. And when we're connected to Jesus Christ, coming to him is just the natural outflow of our lives. But you know, a lot of times when we have problems, what we do is we don't come, we run. Oh man, I don't want Jesus to help me. Sometimes we see our own pride and our own self-sufficiency. I don't need anybody else's help. Jesus, you stay over there. I will do my own thing. But sometimes stress and adversity begins to show us our total dependence upon God. In fact, some of us in this room this morning, you're reminded more than ever today that you need God's strength. And when you need God's strength, it brings humility and a dependence upon Him and coming to Jesus and bringing whatever burdens that you may have just seems to be the natural thing to do. And that's the relationship that God wants us to have. Now, we may have the burden of guilt. Maybe you've committed sins in your past that you haven't overcome. Maybe you haven't forgiven yourself. Or maybe you're too embarrassed to even say that to the Lord. You know, not that He doesn't know, but sometimes talking about it can be difficult. Others of us are facing health issues or other burdens, failing relationships, or struggling in your career in some way. Maybe you need a new job. Maybe you don't have a job and you need a job. You're unemployed or underemployed. Or you may just think today God's not interested in all this. You know, God's off doing His thing in the heavens and He's really not concerned with the worries and the struggles of your life, and yet nothing could be further from the truth, because if that was the case, Jesus would not have spoken about it. He would have talked about something else. But He says, come to Me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest. And you know, sometimes also the blessings in life can be stressful. Some of us are going through great seasons in our lives. I mean, you're seeing tremendous success and blessing, and life's going better than you even thought it was possible, and yet there's stress related to that as well. And you're reminded that you need the Lord as well. So come to Him. That's relationship. Come to Me, Jesus says. That's why 1 Peter says, cast all your anxieties on Him, for He cares for you. And prayer is a great place to begin. Just saying to the Lord, God, I need Your help. God, I need Your intervention. God, I need Your wisdom. God, I need Your blessing. I don't know what to do, God. And just, there's something therapeutic. There's something powerful. There's something dynamic that begins to happen in your spiritual life, when you begin to pray prayers like that to God, it begins to release that burden. Jesus went on and He said, not only is it about the relationship, not only is it about come to Me, but it's also yield to Me. And yield to Me comes in the context of relationship as well. Yield to Me. Take My yoke upon you, learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls, for My yoke is easy, and My burden is light. Now, what is a yoke? You know, sometimes we think about an egg yolk. But in the ancient world, a yolk was used to harness a couple of oxen or other animals to do certain tasks. And one animal would be on one side and another animal would be on the other side. And together, their force and their strength would be stronger than what it would be independently. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm in the yoke with you, and you need to yield to Me. See, some of us have been trying to do all the heavy lifting in our lives, not realizing that the power and the strength of Christ is accessible to us, and that when Christ is with us and we're yielded to Him, we begin to march in sync, and it begins to give us strength that we've never known before. Take My yoke, I'm in there with you. And when you walk with Me, I pull the load so that you don't have to. Therefore, yield to Me and let Me do the hard work. I mean, that's what Jesus is saying in this. Now, why would someone who is burdened take up the yoke of somebody else? You know, you may think, that didn't really make sense. Why would Jesus want to help me? He's probably got enough stuff to deal with. But you know, when we read the teachings of Jesus, we see that Jesus loves us. The motivation for Christ wanting to be yoked together with us is His love for us. And His love is profound. It's hard to explain. It's hard to even to put into words. But He loves us and He's in the yoke with us. And by the way, He's got a lot more strength than you do. You've been trying to pull that load by yourself, and you've got the greatest power source in the universe, man, ready to get in there with you and to begin to pull that load. So let him do what he can do. Let God do what he can do. By the way, God's perspective on your problems in your life is so different from the way that we see them. He has a totally different vantage point. Sometimes we get so frustrated and upset. God's looking at things from a whole other perspective. I believe God has kind of the Google Earth perspective, you know, on things. He's just looking at things a little bit different than we look at them. Yield to me, Jesus says. Yield to me. And I love this word rest because in the language of the New Testament, it's a word that really means vacation. How many of us love to take some vacations? Okay? Oh, I loved a vacation. Vacation. Jesus is saying when we begin to give our burdens to him and he's in the yoke with us, then we begin to experience a vacation. A vacation. Now, I loved a vacation in the Caribbean. I mean, Gina and I are beach people all the way. We love the beach. And I love to go to the Yucatan Peninsula or somewhere in the Caribbean. I mean, that is our place. We love that. So much fun. I love to hear people speaking other languages. You know, you really feel like you're on vacation when people are speaking other languages like Spanish or whatever it may be. You know, it's just exciting. And to sit on the beach and not have any schedules and there's no kids screaming and you don't have to be anywhere and there's an all-you-can-eat buffet and it's just relaxation, you know, just a vacation. Time to just rest and relax and recharge and, you know, just kind of refocus a little bit. Man, you got to do that from time to time. And, you know, to have a successful spiritual life, you got to take a vacation regularly. And that vacation comes in the presence of God. When we begin to pray and give our burdens to him, we begin to relieve the stress and the tension. We begin to relax. We begin to refocus. We begin to enjoy life so much more. And that's what yielding to Christ is all about. So, are you ready and willing to yield your life and your power to him? God wants to do the heavy lifting in your life. When I was thinking about this passage this week, I was reminded as a little boy, I used to go with my grandfather. My grandfather used to deliver the mail. And so we would drive in a truck. We would go we would deliver the mail from the main post office to all these little country post offices. And then my grandfather had like a little trailer that we would stay in, you know, during the day. And then in the evening, we would come back and we would pick all the mail up from all the little post offices and take it back to the big post office. And so it was just a great time to spend some time with my granddad. I called him Daddo, you know. And we had a great time doing like grandpa, you know, grandson kind of things, like shooting BB guns and riding go-karts and just doing fun stuff like that, right? Just good times. I learned to drive, you know, out some of those country roads. And just spending great time together. But I remember I always wanted to help my grandfather. And especially when I was little, I always wanted to help him get the big sacks of mail. And some of those sacks of mail are really heavy. I mean, big monster sacks of mail. Especially as a 5 or 6, 7-year-old little boy. I mean, you know, those sacks of mail weighed a whole lot more than I did, many of them. And so I used to always try to drag them across the floor to put them into my grandpa's truck and, you know, would be unsuccessful. But every once in a while, I'd find a little package, you know, like a little sack of mail, and I would get that one. So I would tell my granddad all the time, I'd say, Daddo, you get the big ones, and I'll get the little ones. You know, we're like a great team. And he had to do most of the work. And my grandfather had big muscles, you know, and he could get all the big ones. But I was so glad there was somebody there to do the heavy lifting because I wasn't strong enough to do it by myself. You know, when we think about our own spiritual lives, that's exactly the way that God wants us to look to him. We're in that yoke together. There's some burdens we cannot lift and pull ourselves, and we need the supernatural power of God in our lives to help us to overcome that adversity. Yielded together, the partnership there. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, does that mean that following Christ is easy? Verse 30. No. There's challenges, there's difficulties, there's hardships. Of course there is. But you only have to take a glimpse at the life of the apostles to see that sometimes following Christ can lead you into some very, very difficult places. But God has always promised to be with us in the middle of life's greatest storms. So it doesn't mean that life just becomes easy and there's no problems and we have no adversity. It really means we learn to find a vacation in the middle of the problems. And that's found in prayer. That's found in communion with God. That's found in corporate worship. That's found in studying the Scripture. That's found in growing spiritually, serving God. When those things begin to be in order in our lives, it brings that vitality and that strength that we need so much. And Jesus goes on and he says, not only come to me and yield to me, but also a third thing, learn from me. Learn from me. Imagine that. That's discipleship. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus wants us to learn from him. And there's so many things we could learn from Jesus, right? I mean, we could talk about how he loved his enemies, and we could talk about how he served others, and we could talk about the way Jesus lived and conducted his life. We could talk about the prayer life of Jesus. I think perhaps one of the most interesting aspects of Jesus' prayer life, and maybe one that's not talked about as much, but is the fact that Jesus was totally dependent upon the Father, and he continued to pray. And let me give a couple of examples from the Gospel of Luke. He prayed at his baptism in Luke 3:21. He prayed often in Luke 5:16. He spent the night in prayer in Luke 6:12 before he called the disciples. He prayed when he was interrupted by the disciples in chapter 9. He prayed on the Mount of Transfiguration at the end of chapter 9. He prayed as he sent out the 72 to minister to their community in the 10th chapter. He taught the disciples to pray in Luke 11. He prayed while the disciples were asleep in Luke 22. And even as he was crucified in Luke chapter 23, Jesus was praying. And that's incredible, to be praying when you're being humiliated and tortured to death on a cross. But the heartbeat of the life of Jesus is that he was always praying. He lived in continual communication with God. And listen, if Jesus Christ needed to receive strength from God, how much more do we need that? How much more do we need the power of God in our lives? How much more do we need to pray? How much more do we need to talk to God and to release those burdens so that we can experience spiritual rest in him? We have several classes that we offer at our church. We call them the four classes, and there are what we kind of call our discipleship process. We have a 101 class. We have a 201 class, a 301 class, a 401 class. Each are focused on different aspects of the spiritual life. And I love these classes because they're like spiritual Red Bull. I mean, you know, you come to them, you get motivated, you get excited. Woo! You know, you're ready to go. And I hope you'll come to the next class that you need to come to in that order. 101, 201, 301, so forth. And we have a great time in those classes. But I'll tell you this. If you want to have a long-term strategy to grow in your faith, one of the greatest things you can do is to come and get involved at the Edge Church relationally. Man, because just like we need to be connected to Jesus Christ in relationship, that's the first relationship. But God has also given us other relationships. And listen, some of the most inspiring and some of the most powerful moments of learning and spiritual growth will come as you are in relationship with other people in the church and you see how they live their Christian life and you learn from them and they learn from you and we're serving together and we're in smaller groups together. And man, I'm so thankful that as a kid that I grew up at Sunday school and went to church every Sunday, but I really believe many of the greatest turning points in my spiritual life came as I watched men of God that were older than me live out the Christian experience, and I watched how they loved their wives and how they spent their time and how they managed their money and how they prioritized the local church and how they shared their faith and how they lived lives of godliness and integrity, and just kind of being a fly on the wall and watching the details and watching those things kind of unveil themselves began to take my spiritual life to a whole nother level. And so part of being a disciple and part of being connected with the body of Christ is being in community with others. And Jesus wants us to do that so much today. Jesus was focused on that. And, you know, the Apostle Paul has a great quote in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ," you know. And so we're following Christ, but the wake of our life should be that there's other people that are coming along behind us that are following us as we follow Christ. And that's the mark of a growing disciple. So who's following you? Who are you leading? And who are you following? Because Christ wants us to follow Him and to have others follow along behind us. And when that begins to happen, man, this ripple effect in our spiritual life begins to take place. And God begins to use us as conduits of His grace and His power and His strength. So Jesus says, come to me, that's relationship. Yield to me, that's a partnership. God's going to do the heavy lifting. He's in the yoke with us. We're still plowing, we're still pulling away, but we know He's there to do what we cannot. And then learn from me, that's discipleship. Now back to what we talked about before. When this begins to happen, we find rest. We find strength. We find an outlet. We find the spiritual dynamics that we are looking for so much, and so many times we look for these type of outcomes from so many other venues, but really what we're looking for is the significance and love that comes in Jesus Christ. And when we're plugged into Him, man, we can overcome anything. There's no adversity that you cannot overcome. There's no mountain that you cannot conquer. There's no amount of strength that God can fail to bring into your life. So come to me, all you who are weary, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we come before you this morning realizing that there are so many struggles in this room today, God. Many, many people are hurting. God, sometimes we don't even know where to begin when we pray. But God, we thank you today that you are a God that is concerned with the details of our lives. You're concerned with every struggle, Lord, every heartache, every disappointment today. And God, my prayer for everyone in this room today is that we would find strength and hope and encouragement in you today. Fill our lives. God, do within us what we cannot do ourselves. Because God, many of us in this room have tried to live lives solely by our own strength, and we see exactly where that has taken us and where that has gotten us. And God, we're reminded more than ever before that we need you today. So God, show up in this place and do only what you can. We look to you as our creator, our sustainer, our savior, our redeemer, our hope, our encouragement today. And we thank you for it. And while our heads are still bowed and our eyes are still closed and no one's moving around for just a moment, maybe today you realize, man, I don't have a relationship with this God. And today you want to open your heart to Him. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus died on a cross. He rose from the grave in order that we could have forgiveness and new life in Him. And maybe today you'd like to experience that. Would you pray this prayer? Would you just open your heart to Him and say these words as this the the overflow of the desire of your heart today. Just say, Lord, I know that I have sin in my life. I pray you'd forgive me, change me. I'm putting my faith in Christ and what he did at the cross and the resurrection in order that I can receive new life in you. And now we pray all of these things in his name. Amen.